This is the problem. Take a pair of scales.
Last time, I entered upon the big topic of why you cry when you cut onions. So first, I talked about the history of crying and how there are three separate glands in our eye sockets that make three quite different liquids. One is really good at sticking to your eyeball. The second is mostly water loaded with proteins, antibiotics and minerals. While the third is rather oily, and it slows down the rate of evaporation of the overall tear layer. Now, by coincidence, besides there being three different types of tears, there are also three different types of crying. We classify them by their cause. First, there are the regular, normal, protective or basal tears. So if any microscopic dust lands on your eyeballs, these tears will flow forth and whisk it away. These protective or basal tears also generally moisten and protect the eyeball. Second, there are the so-called reflex tears. They gush out in response to larger particles, to gases, and to other irritants, including bright light. And they also appear if you eat something very spicy. And finally, there are the psychic or emotional or crying or weeping tears. Now, these are apparently unique to humans, and they can happen with either sad or happy emotions, as well as anger, frustration, remorse, and other strong, intense emotions. And of course, tear-jerker movies designed especially to make you cry. It is very widely claimed that these emotional tears contain higher than normal levels of three types of chemicals. However, this research was done in the early 1980s with crude equipment. And recent studies with more sensitive equipment could not find evidence of these chemicals. For what it's worth, the three claimed chemicals are prolactin, that's a hormone associated with milk production, ACTH, that's a hormone related to stress, and leucine and enkephalin, and that's a natural painkiller similar to morphine in structure. Now, emotional crying is special. Babies do it more often and for longer than children. Children do it more than adults, and women more than men. But we all do emotional crying more frequently both at night and in cold climates. Now, parents are very sensitive to the emotional cry of toddlers, while non-parents are mostly oblivious and sometimes don't even notice. And in Western society, there are culturally approved events for emotional crying, including births, weddings, and funerals. There are many theories as to why we humans do emotional crying, but none of them give all the answers. These theories try to explain why the lacrimal glands in your eye sockets are connected to the emotional centres in your brain. First, there is the getting rid of toxins theory, and it suggests that we use the tears as a way to dispose or get rid of toxins. The first problem is that crying is a very inefficient way to move material out of the body. For example, the gut can remove much greater masses. And the second problem is that the supposed toxins don't actually leave. Much of the tears go via tiny holes at the lower inner corner of the eye sockets and straight into the nose and pharynx. And here they land on mucous membranes and can be promptly reabsorbed. Another slightly better theory is that crying is communication. And certainly, babies and infants cry to communicate. The tears tell parents that something is wrong and prompt them to do something. But crying as adults also shows us to others when we are very vulnerable, our vision is blurred, and the deep emotions that crying represents are difficult to fake. Except for actors and politicians. These intense emotions help bond us together. A third theory claims that crying is cathartic. That is, it helps purge our emotions, or it relieves emotional tensions. Now, this is a very popular belief, especially in the media. Some 94% of media reports, when they mention crying, glibly add the tag that crying is cathartic and good for you. However, the evidence for this is mixed, and that's a scientific or polite way of saying not proven. It seems that catharsis is more common if there is social support during the crying, for example, somebody's giving you a hug, or if there is only one other person present, and in situations in which the feelings of shame about crying are relatively low. But in many cases, crying leaves the crier more susceptible to mood disturbance, which is a scientific way of saying worse off. So now that I've dealt a little with tears and crying, I'm all primed up to talk about why onions make you cry, but next time.
What does it mean? Why is it so?